Hey everybody, it's Rick. Welcome back to the Nomad Pastor Podcast. Today I want to talk about addictions. And mainly I want to talk about deliverance from addictions, right? And so I wanted to start with like what the Webster dictionary definition of addiction is. And that definition is to devote or surrender oneself to something or someone habitually or obsessively. So when, you know, I think it's common when we think about addictions to talk about alcoholism or drug addiction, but there are addictions that are way more common than those, that we really need to put into that bucket. And I think they're often overlooked. And so let's just talk about some of them, right? You know, we know that there's alcohol, but there's anger, right? Smoking, you know, caffeine, coffee, soda pop, right? Coke, Pepsi, Mountain Dew is a big one, right? I know a ton of people who can't live without their Mountain Dew, right? Some people are addicted to danger or evil, envy, exercise. I've seen people that are addicted to exercise. They just can't. They just can't. If they're not working, they're at the gym. And they say, oh, I want to be healthier. I want to be this. But it's an addiction, right? You know, they have basically completely surrendered themselves to that. There's fantasies, right? Sexual fantasies. There's food, right? I mean, I think all of us have that problem. What about gossip? Have you ever, you know, people who just continually discredit others to make themselves feel better about themselves? What about Facebook, the internet, right? That's a huge problem in today's society, right? Facebook and jealousy and lying and pornography and, you know, sports. I mean, I know people that everywhere they go, it's about what sport is on TV, what notifications do I get on my phone. They can't have a conversation without wondering what's going on with sports. That's a huge problem, right? Stealing, swearing, television, violence. Some people are addicted to work. You know, I think it's pretty easy to think or say that at some point in our lives, everyone is or has been addicted to something. And probably a lot of us have been to more than one of them, right? And because of that, we can't be judgmental towards people. We can't be without compassion for the people who are just plagued by the more obvious addictions like alcoholism or drugs because ours happen to be like secret. Like you can hide an addiction to the internet. You can hide an addiction to caffeine. You can hide an addiction to pornography or the television, but you can't hide an addiction to drugs or alcohol. But just because we could hide our addictions doesn't mean that we have to have less compassion for somebody who is addicted. You know, Ephesians 2:3 says, all of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. We're all deserving, right? If I got what I've said this before, you've heard me say it before. If I got what I deserved, I'd go to hell. You know, in addiction, our flesh desires something or someone. Our will, our free will, I've done podcasts on free will, right? Our freedom to choose. But when we're addicted, our free will is taken captive by our flesh. And that free will is unable to say no. It's unable to say no to this insistence that we give into. So we give it what it wants. We give the addiction what it wants, regardless of whether it's an alcoholic addiction or a sex addiction or self-pity or, you know, maybe it's sleeping pills or, you know, I'm just addicted to that adrenaline rush. We give into it. We can't give into it. You know, 1 Peter 2:11 says, "Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires, which wage war against your soul." And that's what it is. It's a war. You know, and I think it's a war because, you know, and oftentimes addictions, they come in like groups, right? They're not alone. Like, you know, an example would be if you, you know, if you're an alcoholic, you probably smoke too. You know, if you love to gossip, you probably have this envy and possibly lying as well. You know, and so we have to ask ourselves, one, why do they come in groups? And I think that's easy, right? Because we have this insatiable desire for pleasure, right? That's what the flesh is. And we want those cravings to be gratified. So every time you give in to the flesh in one area, that just gets bolder, right? So if you give in to Satan in one place, well, Satan's going to get bolder. He's going to try to control something else. He's going to get control over something else that you have free will over until you give it to him also. But God longs to deliver us from these addictions. And it's not because they might be harmful to us or others, or, I mean, even though they are, right? But that's not why. But because our first addiction really should be to God, right? Because he should be where we go first for relief in times that are hard. God should be where we go first. And that should be a reward, right? In our good times, right? God will reward us. Instead of going to, you know, dependency of an addiction, go to God. And, you know, we can sit here and talk about addictions all day long, but at the end of the day, addictions are nothing more than another fancy term for an idol. You know? Because whatever that is, you value it more or you love it more than you love God. Because you go to it instead of going to God, right? So that makes it an idol. You're idolizing this addiction. You know, they meet the basic definition of an idol, which is something or someone valued or loved more than God. You know? Every time, you know, someone indulges in their addiction, they're worshiping an idol. You know, if you smoke and that's what you're addicted to and you're putting that before God, it's your idol. You know, it's just like when they made the golden calf, right? They had been delivered. Moses had delivered his people out of Egypt. And when he went up on the mountain, they made this golden calf to idolize it. Well, the cigarettes are the same thing. The drugs are the same thing. The sex is the same thing. The pornography is the same thing. The internet is the same thing. You're putting it above God. You know, I mean, just read the Bible. It speaks everywhere about addictions. It may not call them that. It calls them the lust of the flesh. Right? It's something that, you know, our fallen human nature strongly wants. And it's made clear in the Bible that our human nature is prone to addictions, right? But the Bible also provides the way out, right? In Christ, the way out is in Christ to overcome whatever that is, right? Whatever that addiction is, whatever that lust of the flesh is. You can take it to God because they have this potential to ruin us while we're here on earth. And these addictions have the potential to deprive us of heaven. So there are really two ways, right? There's two ways to be delivered from addiction, right? There's man's way. And then there's God's way. And both, look, I'm not going to sit here and say they don't both work, right? you know, the man's way, like the human solution is some long-term program, like some long-term 12-step program. Like if you're an alcoholic, AA is a great sobriety program, right? Our approach to strengthen the will to say no to the flesh's cravings for what it wants, right? So by attending, you know, an AA type of meeting on a daily basis or a weekly basis, you know, if you're new at it, it's probably a daily basis, you know, by having daily contact with a sponsor and you know, sincere participation in that 12-step program. Because this daily association with others who battle the same desires, they help you. They make you stronger. It strengthens you and it will encourage you. And it's in this supportive, non-condemning, and you know, but not enabling, right? They're not going to enable it, but they're not going to condemn you either. Which, by the way, you know, maybe off topic, but by the way, that's what every church should be. I know that not every church is, and it really is frustrating for me, and it's hard for me as a Christian. You know, I've heard a ton of people say that they, you know, they went to church and then they left because they felt condemned and they didn't feel supported and all these things, right? So that's just my little off topic, right? Every church should be supportive and non-condemning, but not enabling. Period. But this 12-step program, this thing, it what it does is it gives you a constant feed of what you need to empower your will over the flesh, that urge, whatever that urge may be. You know, but often that will and the flesh remain, and it's going to be in constant tension. It always is. And that's why it's so important to be in this type of program, you know. And you can find this program wherever you are, right? There are tons of them. You know, you may discover that if this strict daily regimen is not maintained, you're going to lose it. You know, you're going to lose it. It has power by continuance. You know, your body, your desires are strong. So you have to focus on getting help, right? Then I think, you know, so that's man's way, right? Which is amazing. I would never say don't do that because it is amazing. But then there's like the spiritual way, right? And maybe it is through a program like AA, but it's finding God through the belief in Jesus Christ. And that's where an addicted person is introduced into the gospel of Jesus and receives forgiveness for all their past sins, right? Through faith. And as this born-again Christian continues to grow in their heart and their knowledge of God through believing more about God's word and receiving by faith that the fullness of the Holy Spirit, your will will become submitted to God, right? So instead of your will being your free will being submitted to whatever your addiction is, your will be submitted to God. And there's new spirit in God's growing nature within you that will help keep you going down the right path. It will help keep you empowered to say no to the flesh. In James 1:21, it says, the last part of it says, humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. And in Galatians 5:16, it says, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Walk by the Spirit. Like, how powerful is that? You know, in spiritual growth, as it continues in our life, as more of God's words are believed by us, God can reveal the rest of his work of Christ on the cross, right? How it was completed. So that as an addicted person comes to a place where that free will is now dead to the flesh, including dead to its cravings, it's in this state of mind, right? It's maintained that will, but not the flesh, right? It's lost all desire for whatever that addiction was, right? Whether it was the internet or pornography or cigarettes or alcohol or whatever. You're able to maintain that state because of your relationship with God, because you are walking by the Spirit. You know, 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are mighty in God, His word, His spirit, and prayer, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, who lives by His word and His spirit in our hearts." See, when you live in this place, when you live in Christ, there's this urge from, well, it's an urge from either the spirit or your own flesh, right? It's going to show up from time to time. But when you're living in the place with Christ, it's so much easier to reject it. If you're not living with Christ, that urge it's easier to accept. You're not strong enough, in my mind, right? But it's easy to reject it when you're living with Christ. And the more powerful your relationship with God, the easier it is to reject. But if we neglect God, that free will that I've talked about before, it becomes weakened. And we may begin to indulge just a little here and there, right? Oh, just a little bit. I'm going to dabble a little. It'll be okay. Sooner or later, it's going to give up. It's going to give in to that craving. When you have an addiction, it's not, well, I'm just going to do a little bit, because it's all in. And what happens is generally each time, the intensity of the addiction far exceeds anything that had occurred before. Because it just takes over. You can't control it. And that's, I think, where we get in trouble. I think there's really a couple basic realities about, you know, man's solution and God's solution to the problem. The first problem is, and I think, people need to accept this, is that our addiction, the flesh's addiction to whatever it is, never changes, right? If you're an alcoholic, you will always be an alcoholic. Now, you may be in recovery, right? But you're still an alcoholic. That addiction never changes. The second thing is when an addiction is strong and destructive, if you're addicted to it, that person will never be able to have modest proportions, right? Well, I'm just going to do it once. I only need a little. I'm going to do one sip, one line, one whatever it may be. That means if you're an alcoholic, you will never become a social drinker. If you're a gambler, right? Gambling is a huge addiction. You can never be a social gambler, right? You're going to lose your house. If you have an eating disorder, you will never be able to just socially eat the things that cause you problems. You see, recovery now means deliverance from the excess, deliverance from the abuse. That's why I said this is about being delivered from your addictions, right? Here, this spiritual solution is much more likely to succeed because it involves you surrendering the will to God. And then what happens is God can then establish the boundary between what is acceptable and what is an abusive indulgence. He will then empower you to strictly adhere to it, right? He'll empower that free will to adhere to that commitment that you make. And I think the third thing, right, both solutions require maintenance. This is not a like one and done. Okay, I'm not an addict anymore. you know, for me, I think doing this podcast provides a lot of that. But I have people that I talk to, right? For this to work, a person has to be motivated, right? I spend a considerable amount of time in the Word of God. I spend a considerable amount of time just with God in silence. And that is my maintenance, right? For the more human program, that primary incentive to stay sober, from addiction, for the more spiritual solution, the primary motive is to become a disciple of Christ. So there's two things, right? I said there's the man's way and in God's way, right? Man's way, your primary incentive to stay sober from addiction, whatever that addiction is, that you deny yourself of that. And for the spiritual one, for the God's way, it's to become a disciple of Christ, to lay down your life to serve God. To become a disciple includes being made free by God and from every form of fleshly addictions, no matter what it is. So I kind of want to wrap this up. And I think to do that, I think we just have to really focus on Scripture, right? In Galatians 2:20, it says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." You have the power from God to do anything, to overcome any addiction, regardless of what it is. You can do it. You just have to take the step. So today I'm asking you, if you have an addiction, whether it's seen or unseen, big or little, you take the step. It's not a lot to ask. Just take the step and give it to God. Right? That's my prayer for us today. Lord, as we conclude this message, I ask you to just put a special blessing and protection on everybody who's facing an addiction, that you give them the power to turn to you, that you give them the power through you, through Christ, to successfully overcome whatever that addiction is in their life. Father, I just ask you to protect us, guide us, keep us strong, and allow us to continue to meditate on your word and continue to walk away from the addictions of our life. It's in the name of Christ that I say this. Amen. Thanks for listening. This is Rick with the Nomad Pastor. Send me an email at hello@nomadpastor.org. Let me know what you're thinking. Let me know you like it. Share it with your friends. It's on every podcast platform of choice. Thanks. Have a blessed week.